We'll turn to Ruth, chapter 4 of Ruth, and verse 10, just a few words. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite. You know, Ruth, in the book of Ruth, is referred to as the Moabitess, or the Moabitish damsel, consistently, except one place, and here is where it is, 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. No Moabitess mentioned from now on. So we have it in Nehemiah 13, verse 1. A Moabite shall not enter the congregation of God forever. That was Ruth. She was Ruth the Moabite. She couldn't get into the congregation of God or the family of God no matter what. It's like a sinner. A sinner will not enter heaven forever. That's it. And so we do not go in as a sinner, and Ruth didn't get into the family of God as a Moabite. She went in as the bride of Boaz, a beautiful type of Christ, Boaz. And we go in as part of the bride of Christ. And it's wonderful. We don't go in as a sinner. So that's one thought I had here to start it. Verse 17 in the middle, there is a son born, and they called his name Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. There's a beautiful, really, meanings of these words are lovely to see. A son born, Obed. Of course, Obed means servant or serving. And this is Mark's gospel brought out so beautifully, because Jesus Christ came to serve, and he's a perfect servant in Mark's gospel. And then it brings out this, Jesse, the father of Jesse. Jesse means of him who is, deity. I am, that's the point. And so this one who served and came for us in that sense was the Son of God, was deity himself. And finally, you've got the father of David. You all know what that is, beloved, the beloved, the Son of God. So it's a beautiful thing to see the order in us at the end of Ruth. Then we read, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, the seventh. You know, that's beautiful to think of this. It's really a type of Christ bringing in Boaz. He was the seventh in the number. Boaz means in him is strength. That's our Savior, of course. That's the Lord as incarnate man. So, and Boaz begat Obed. Well, Obed, of course, was the eighth. And it means serve forever, the servant. That's Exodus 21. We won't go to it, but that's how long the Son of God's going to serve us forever, all eternity. And Obed begat Jesse, which is deity. Though he became a man, he never ceased being the eternal Son of God. And that's deity. How beautiful. And Jesse begat David. We're back to the beloved one. All thoughts of the Father center on him. Well, I have in my heart speaking about two men and two wives and two sons. And two priests and two ways. They may not go in the exact order, but that's what's on my heart. So Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, it speaks really of one of the two men, Elkanah. The Elkanah was an Ephrathite. Well, Elimelech, I should say, the beginning here in Ruth, was also an Ephrathite. Elimelech was also an Ephrathite, these two men. They both lived in the promised land. They lived in the place of God's choosing, but they lived in the time of Judges, which was every man did that which was right in his own eyes, similar to our days, and also the time of Ruth and Judges, of famine in the land. And so both of them were Ephrathites, which means fruitful nuts, and the one, that's Elkanah, lived up to his name, the name of his tribe, Ephrathite. But Eliab failed. He did not live up to his name. So we find that, Elimelech took his family and left in the famine and went to Moab. Moab really means what father? It's a question. So it's really the religion of your choice, or whatever you want is right in your own eyes. He went to Moab, and what happened? Took his family there, and he died. Of course, I do believe it was a sin unto death. He had a responsibility, and he died. The Lord took him home. His wife continued, and his sons, for 10 years, and the sons died, but not until they married Moabitish women. So we've got the two sons there, and they both died because they continued 10 years in Moab. So Moab had Chemosh as its god, and Chemosh means as if feeling. It's like the church of your choice feels right. Whatever religion you go, if it's right, it's as if feeling. But it's wrong, of course. And Chemosh required children's sacrifices. What an awful thing to see what happened with one that left God's place, Zion. Then we've got in verse 2 the two wives. And Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Hannah means she was gracious. And she's one of the virtuous women we read about in the Word of God. She was a gracious woman. And the other name means earthy in a sense. It speaks, the name Peninnah is coral, which is an earthly color, or ruby, both earthly colors. So she was not the Lord's. But Elkanah had the two wives. And was that right or wrong? Well, in the eyes of God, that was wrong. But he put up with it with those who wanted a son, because inheritance in the family came through the sonship. And so if the wife was barren, as was Hannah, the Lord shut up her womb, we'll read, then the husband took a second wife, maybe a third, but it was never right in the eyes of God, but he suffered it because the motive was right. And so you have one other thing. Every time it was a second or third wife, the family had to suffer the consequences of it. That's what we have here. And this man, well, I should read the rest of two. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man, Elkanah, went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there at that time in the house of God. You know, Hophni means his fist. He was a forceful man. And Phinehas means about of pity or the mouth of a serpent. He was a foul-mouthed man. And that's what was at the temple at this time with Eli, the high priest, who had lost discernment because he didn't rule well. I was just going to mention these two sons and get it out of the way now. We turn to chapter 2 and verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. He struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the fish hook brought up, the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh, the center, unto all the Israelites that came thither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let him not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. That's hotni, his fist. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And then verse 22, at the middle. They lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. This was these two priests there at the time. And verse 4, And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to notice all her sons. The emphasis is there. All her sons and her daughters' portions. She gave him many sons, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. This was really the trial of her faith. What a terrible thing it was for a wife in Israel not to be able to bear a child for her husband. And so it was a trial of her faith, that as in 1 Peter we read, it's more precious than a gold, though tried with fire, you know. And there's a need be for every trial. And Hannah is being put through it here by the Lord, really. And her adversary, Peninnah, verse 6, also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so Peninnah provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. She mourned. She really felt this shortcoming that the Lord had placed upon her as a wife, and she mourned, you know it. And she also fasted. She really prayed and fasted. That's Mark 9, of course, and I think it's about 29. The Lord said this kind can be only by prayer and fasting. That's what Hannah did. By the way, Hannah's name means she was gracious, you'll see. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? You know, godly sorrow cannot be hidden. And this was godly sorrow that Hannah was going through. Much like Nehemiah. In chapter 2 of Nehemiah, when he stood before the king as the king's cupbearer, and the king noticed the sadness in Nehemiah's heart. He said, "Why is thy countenance sad? You know, thou art not sick." And he could see the sorrow that Nehemiah had in his heart when he heard about Judea and Jerusalem, when the walls were burned and the gates as well, and the people were in desperate trouble. He felt for the Lord's people. Well, Hannah here was sincerely, really in remorse or sadness. And so she wept, and she wouldn't eat. And she felt the sting of this not being barren. Verse 9. Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, the center, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. But don't forget his sons. And she was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she bowed a vow, and she said, "O Lord of hosts." By the way, that's the first time that expression is used in the Word of God. It was introduced by Hannah. Very beautiful. And likewise, I think, the anointed, the Lord's anointed, in second chapter of prayer, first time it's mentioned in the Word. All right. And she bowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child." Very specific request. A man child. "Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." What was she saying? She was saying, "I would raise him first a Nazarite." How beautiful. You know, a Nazarite is holy unto the Lord. Three things, of course, but one is no razor, you know. They let their hair grow freely. That's the way it's mentioned in J&D. And the second thing is no wine. They found no joy in this world. All their joy was from above, much like those today of us who can have the Nazarite character. There are no Nazarites today, but how nice to have that character. You don't find any joy in this world. All our joy is from above. And the third thing is no dead body. That's the defiling thing, the dead body. And a Nazarite couldn't touch a dead body. You know it in Numbers 6, you can read it. Well, Hannah promised to bring up a son, if it was given her, as a Nazarite for the Lord, and leave him at Shiloh. It was a promise. Now, in verse 12, "And it came to pass, as Hannah continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth." Now, Hannah, she spake in her heart. But you know, it's nice to recall the Lord reads the heart. He knows the thoughts in our hearts before they become thoughts in our mind. He knows, of course, everything. He read her heart. "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk." She was a drunkard, in a sense. How sad that is, which was a common thing at these times in the promised land in Canaan. And he concluded that that's what she was. She was just drunk. He had no discernment. You know, it's like the old prophet of Bethel. He lost all discernment. Well, Eli too lost discernment. "And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." How sad that is, you know. Judging motive here, or judging conduct before, he should have known. "And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Hannah means she was gracious. And what a gracious answer that is. She took it not speaking back or anything. She just told him what was on her heart. Eli answered and said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou had asked him." He realized she was a virtuous woman when she answered as she did. He realized he made a mistake. But you know, that's the beautiful thing. Hannah had that faith. Not only grace, but faith. And she knew that if the high priest had granted her petition, not even knowing it, the Lord would undertake for her. So the woman went her way, middle of 18, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. The result of faith. How nice it is, you know. Faith is the thing we were talking about last night, I believe. How wonderful it is when she realized if the high priest, no matter how undiscerning he was, granted her request, God would honor it. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Ramah means the heights. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. How beautiful. God is so faithful. Here it is. You know, she was barren. But God's able to undertake for barren women. You know, Elizabeth was barren, but she was mother of John the Baptist. And the wife of Manoah was barren, but she was mother of Samson, yeah. And I was thinking there was other barren ones, but God is able to open the womb as well as to shut it. And this is what he has done. And so the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, verse 20, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. It means he is of God, or the second meaning, requested of God. This is the one she prayed for. And because I have asked him of the Lord. And Hannah went not up, well, I should read 21. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, "I will not go up until the child be weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." This is her vow. You know, when they made a vow in these days, they had to keep it. We don't make vows today. No. We can't make any vow today. We can only say, if the Lord will. That's nice. We have desires, but they're only if the Lord will. That's the really beautiful part in James that says that, if the Lord will. But to make a vow today is never right. That's why promise keepers is so wrong. To make promises, you can't carry out, but promise keepers has really caught a lot of them in a snare. We cannot do one thing unless it's the Lord's will. So we don't make these kind of promises, but Hannah did. And she made this promise. And you know, I'll show you how serious it is. I know you know this portion. We'll just turn to Judges. I think it'd be chapter 11 for a minute. Judges chapter 11. Verse 30. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that, notice, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he smote them forever, even till you come to Minnith, even 20 cities under the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel, and Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house. And behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and dancers, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. She said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thy enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to the man, the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in every year. A vow. Vow is a very serious thing, brother. And here he made a foolish vow, Jephthah. But Hannah made a vow, and so she wouldn't really go up even to Shiloh until she weaned the son, Samuel. So we'll read in 23, Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought them unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Why the bullocks? Leviticus 1, for a burnt offering. You know, that's the most precious thing in the Lord's sight and in our Father's sight, is the burnt offering. That's what we offer up Lord's Day morning, the burnt offering, the death of God's Son for us, according to God's will, the Father's heart. So she had the bullocks for Leviticus chapter 1 and ephah of flour. Of course, that's meal offering, fine flour. That speaks of the Lord in humanity. And when we have the meal offering, it comes in our worship, and I think rightfully so. It speaks of his perfection as a man who gave his life for us. No spot, no blemish. Of course, in fine flour, no unevenness at all. And why the wine? She brought a bottle of wine. And of course, we know what that was because I believe it's a peace offering, but it's the joy that we have, which is the Lord's joy. You know, he says, I would that my joy be in you and your joy be full. What was his joy? Well, Hebrews 12, the first part, who for the joy set before him, despised not enduring the cross, despising the shame. That's the joy he had. What was that? Doing his Father's will. And that's the joy he wants us to have. So that's really the picture of the wine. And they brought him unto the house of the Lord, verse 24, in Shiloh. The child was young, and they slew a bull. I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him, it should read, I have given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be given to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. How beautiful, he shall be given to the Lord. Now, Hannah was so enjoyed of this that she had a child. The terrible sting was taken from her, and she gave her husband this son. Now we read in the second chapter her prayer. You know, Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn. All of her strength was in the Lord. All. That's what the horn speaks of. Exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. I will just mention, of course, he brings out many things, but as I mentioned, she brought out the anointed here. That would be in verse 10 at the end. Exalt the horn of his anointed. Beautiful expression. He is the anointed of the Lord. But I just want to mention, I won't read the whole prayer, but I would mention, if you read Mary's prayer in Luke 1, you'll see it very close to the thought in this prayer. How beautiful both of them were, and both of their prayers. But in verse 5, they that were full had hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry seats, so that the barren has borne 7. That's prophetic. That's a beautiful expression from Hannah. The barren, that's her, has borne 7. And she that had many children waxed feeble, Penina. But the barren had borne 7. We'll see how prophetic this was. It comes out in a little bit later. Verse 21 of the second chapter. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. 6. But didn't she say the barren has borne 7? Well, you know, that's really puzzled me, but I think what she really said in prophecy here was 6 plus David brings in the 7. You know, Samuel, whom she gave birth to, was the one that anointed David king. And there's our beautiful type of Christ always, the Lord. And so I believe when she prophesied, the barren has borne 7, she was including David the king. How beautiful that is. Well, we'll just go on for a couple of things more here. Samuel was one who did so many things that it's hard to recall. But what of Samuel? Well, we first read in chapter 3, I won't read all of them, verse 18, I think, or 10, Samuel was a servant of the Lord. That's the first thing we read about him. The second is, he was a priest of the Lord. That's chapter 2, 36. And the third, he was a prophet of the Lord, 3:20. The fourth, Samuel was the judge of Israel, 7:6. And the fifth, Samuel was anointed Saul king, 10th chapter, verse 1. And Samuel anointed David king, chapter 16, verse 13. And Samuel was buried at Ramah, that's 25:1. It means a double pipe. So Hannah, with her faith, gave birth to the first of the great prophets and the one that brought in David as king. And how beautiful that is to see. I just love to bring out Hannah for the grace that she really showed and the faith that she had. And Peninnah is a picture of one who just knocked along to the Lord.